just to show my loyalty to my team and my teammates. You know, I know they always got my back, so I got their back too. So just showing them that I'm willing to not be a problem and a distraction. Just go out there, just practice and play and see what happens. That was my mindset.
Bills running back James Cook, contract extension for him. The Bills go 5 for 5. All five guys that were kind of up for deals all get extensions. And the new core, as it's being called, Bernard, Shakir, Rousseau, Benford, Cook to go with Allen, Spencer Brown. Who else is signed long term?
Did I say Benford? Dawkins. Is about,
Dawkins.
I mean, he was a part of the previous one, too.
Yeah, he's, of course, part of the core.
Yeah.
Who else am I talking about here? That might be it. That's it for now.
You said Terrell Bernard?
I said Bernard. I didn't say
Oliver.
I didn't say Coleman yet. Dawson Knox, let's put him in there for a holdover on, like, core. You know, Kincaid and
Oliver,
Coleman.
Is that Oliver really part of it?
Yeah, he's got to be. He signed.
How much has he got left? Can't be much, right?
Wasn't last year his second year on that deal?
That was it?
Because he signed it and had a great year. And I don't feel like, if I'm remembering, last year was not the year that was the great year.
Yeah, he signed a 4-year deal, and then it's the same as Cook, right? Where, like, there was one rookie year, and then it started.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. He's got, I mean, a lot of people might be going to spot track today.
I am.
Yeah, because
I'm here right now. Like, there's a potential out after this year.
Okay.
But there's a lot of dead cap if they move on from Oliver. I feel like he's a restructure candidate. He's 28 right now.
Yep.
Anyway, 803-0550. Your thoughts on Cook getting that contract done? And whether or not, you know, we could talk about, like, distractions. Now there are no distractions. Doesn't the deal getting done and now everyone talking nicely make it seem like it was never that big of a distraction? I mean, we were distracted by it. We got a lot of conversations out of August contract negotiation stuff. But in reality, you know, what?
I mean, Bean said that he was worried about, he was legitimately worried about it being a distraction. But then he also said that he thought, you know, after he had that worry, the team treated it perfectly fine.
Yeah.
So I don't think it really ended up being one. Unless, you know, there would be guys that would say that it was and it was, they wouldn't admit it. Maybe that could be a coach. Maybe that could be other guys in the running back room. But nobody expressed that it was ever like a giant distraction to them.
Yeah. Let's get some calls in. 803-0550. We have a spot for you to chat with us. Mike in Orchard Park is up first. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I mean, overall, like, the contract in general, there's been a couple of reports that it's really a 3-year deal, $10 million a year. You know, like, overall, I don't hate that we're keeping one of our best offensive players, right? And I guess what I question with this deal is there's a, you know, Brandon Bean is very smart in his staff, how they run the cap. And there was a reasoning why Brandon Bean was, you know, trying to hold off this contract. And I guess, like, my main concern moving forward here, yes, James Cook's contract is just a small portion of the cap. But moving forward here is keeping the offensive line intact for me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's my main concern. This is one of the best offensive lines we've had in Buffalo in a long time, especially Josh Allen's had. So, you know, like, you know, Torrance's contract is going to be coming up soon. McGovern's contract is coming up. So, like, that's where my concern is, right? Like, you know, there's a reason why we were trying to hold off the James Cook contract. And I guess I'm just concerned of, like, making sure we have the funds and the availability to keep our offensive line intact moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Like, sometimes the offensive linemen are easy. Part of this conversation has been that the Bills haven't had a player push them.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be because Cook wanted to push, or that could be because the Bills were a little bit lower than he liked. Or that's the thing. We don't get to know how they arrived at where they got to. But everybody else just kind of signs. It's been something the Bills have been credited for, signing guys early. Will Torrance just go the same way as Spencer Brown, where it's, oh, yeah, there you go. There's an extension. And the same as everybody. Everybody just signs, right?
Yeah.
I guess the only examples we could use now are guys that leave, and this is how it goes. We are convinced they didn't want to keep Tremaine Edmonds. Now, did they at a certain number?
Yeah.
But he left, so we say, oh, they didn't want him. Did they want to keep what, Jordan Poyer when he left for Miami? I don't think so.
No, like that's the thing that's kind of funny about Edmonds is he kind of stands alone here. On like they Bean says what draft develop draft and re-sign our own. They have basically done that with every single player that it's at least reasonably good or that they have drafted high and is reasonably good, except that one dude.
And so, Gabe. It's Edmonds and Gabe.
And Gabe. I guess that's right too. Gabe wasn't a first round pick though. And wouldn't there be a little extra feeling inside a GM to say, I picked that guy in round one. I traded up for that guy. I want that guy around long term. I'm gonna wanna make that look like a great pick looking back on, you know, I traded up and got Tremaine Edmonds in the first round. Maybe he doesn't care because it's the same draft as Josh Allen and no one's ever going to look past pick 7 in that year. But he's the only one. So was he just the only one that was about money? Or I really am curious how that played out because it's very unique. He's the only guy. You're right. Like to include Gabe is probably right. But I do think Edmonds being a first round pick makes it a little extra something.
Well, as you point out that, like, draft and develop, I want to make this point without, like, trying to sound too cynical, but I think it's part of reality, which is if they come up short and continue to come up short, it'll then be a talking point that this is something that happened with it happens with the Sabres and Darcy, and they're too loyal to their own players. Here's a great example of the other end of the spectrum. We've got person in the chat saying like, hey, well, they've got their core locked up. So do the Sabres. And doesn't it feel like the Sabres are stuck in theirs? Like, oh, all these long-term deals, we're kind of stuck with these players. Where's the room for somebody else to come in? Mm-hmm. And it's not a perfect comparison because in the NFL, the cap goes up $60 million every year. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, just keeping guys under contract, like what Bean is doing is, on one hand, smart, good business. We have good players. We're going to keep our good players. We're not going to go to the desert to try to find a replacement at 5 different positions in one season. He's going to kind of keep this thing going. And on the other side is, well, you kind of don't give yourself the opportunity for someone to come in. Mm-hmm. I mean, what I mean by that is the running back room is set now. They won't draft a running back in the fourth round who ends up being Bucky Irving freak show. Holy cow. Look at this surplus we get for 5 years. They are very unlikely to have a receiver do that too. They're very unlikely to have a lineman do that as well. And again, like I know that that is a gamble when you do that, but if you don't have guys locked up, you can use a bunch of picks and have those guys come in. And that's something that we've talked about a little bit, like the Rams and the Niners have done.
Yeah.
Pay the elite and then draft a bunch of guys and see who comes into those spots. So a lot of different ways to do it. Again, what I'm getting at is all that really matters is if they win.
Well, back
they win.
Back to the caller's point, though, about the line. Like, maybe the line is a place that they will look to upgrade or look to, you know, invest a high pick in. It would be surprising to me if Torrence is not going to get an extension. But I don't know. Connor McGovern's got a high cap hit. You know, they could have done something with him all offseason. If they really wanted him around long term, it would have made total sense to get him on an extension and lower that number from, like, I don't know, 9 to 4 or 5 or something. But they haven't done that. So, I don't know, maybe they've got thinking, like, you know, in a year we might be drafting a first round center.
Right.
That would be the only spot, though, right? Like, because they're not doing it receiver anytime soon. They're not doing a running back anytime soon. They shouldn't be doing it at tight end anytime soon, I hope.
No. I mean, Cedric Pran Granger could be the guy they already tabbed for, or Alec Anderson. They could have him in the building.
Right.
Dave is next up. Dave in Boston here on WGR.
Morning, guys.
Morning, Dave.
Hey, so I'm in my early 30s, and my entire Bills fandom, this is the first time I can remember the Bills bringing back all the main guys, the core. And it's a good feeling right now. And I guess we'll see how the vibes are and that once the season plays out. And you kind of already touched on my question. And what I was going to ask is if you think if Gabe Davis gave the Bills a discount and he'd still be on this roster. So I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, go Bills.
It's a good question how big the discount would have been because you know, if you look at the Gabe career, and if we're why are we talking about Gabe? Because as Joe pointed out, there aren't that many guys that leave. So we might want to say, you know, why would a guy leave? I guess if Gabe would have taken a discount, they might have signed him, or however far down that discount would have been. Gabe signs for what, 13, Joe?
Yeah.
13. I mean, would the Bills have signed him for 10? Maybe. They were comfortable having him be their number two receiver for two seasons.
Yeah.
Unchallenged in Super Bowl windows. So did they all of a sudden decide that wasn't good enough, or did they say, we just can't pay what you think you're going to get on the open market? Gabe could have thought he was going to get 17 on the open market and ultimately gets 13.
Yeah.
And maybe the Bills were offering 10, so, you know, those two sides were very far apart, and when he's out the door, he's out the door.
I wonder if it matters, too, how much it ends. How much – what was the last thing you saw? Because with Gabe, it was – we always mention how Diggs' role became way less efficient and wasn't targeted as much.
Oh, yeah.
In the
Bills'
offense.
It was he got zero target games.
He was not on the same page with Allen. Remember the Eagles game multiple times where the Eagles game, there's the pick right in the red zone in overtime because him and Josh weren't thinking at the same spot. And then there's the Dolphin game where he runs the wrong route at the end zone and Josh throws a pick. So yep. Maybe there was that lack of communication on top of not being targeted. And like with Edmonds, what was the last thing you saw? It was him getting destroyed in the Bengal playoff game. He was on skates the whole day. I mean, when I think of complaints about that game, it's two things. It's the defensive line getting pushed around, and maybe this is a defense for Edmonds, is the defensive line getting thrown around, and then Edmonds just getting destroyed in that entire game. And that was the last time we saw him.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, I wonder if that plays into it. If maybe they thought, yeah, we're going to offer this guy. We're going to go in to get this guy to stay. And then in the playoffs, he was a no-show, and they said, and they just, you're like, no, not after that. We're not doing it after that.
803-0550 is our phone number. I have a Let's Get Stupid for everybody out there. I have a James Cook game to play.
Okay.
We'll talk with Sal at 8 o'clock. It nice. Rained yesterday.
It did. Hallelujah.
Honest to goodness, rain. Right?
Yes.
Not bad.
Yesterday was one of the best weather days we've had in weeks, just because it wasn't 95 degrees. It was nice. Well, because the rain stopped eventually. So
it is Thursday. Can you believe there's not a football game on tonight?
Not a Jeez. What?
Not a football game tonight. Why is there not a preseason game on a Thursday? Come on.
I've pushed against you all week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Today I'll agree with you.
We need a game
Thursday,
tonight.
Thursday we should have a game.
All right.
Anybody. Throw the Jags on tonight or something.
I've got some of the rundown of Taylor Swift on the New Heights podcast.
Did you watch it?
A little bit. My wife was watching the whole thing. I popped in from time to time.
I watched some of it too, so we could talk about it.
It was good. It was funny. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe on James Cook. You know, if you want to give us your thoughts, the deal gets done. Cook is signed. And we're talking about it with you here on WGR.
Every year, that's the only goal that you have is winning the Super Bowl. If we don't win it, it's a failure.
As much of a dreamer as Lamar was, I don't think he could have ever imagined this.
Superstar athletes, leading men, they're on the top of the mountain.
The Cowboys are America's team. Why don't we be the world's team?
Chiefs Kingdom!